The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tim Watts, CEO of Shield Therapeutics. STX is a ticker there. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you've just released your half-year report. This is, of course, the interim report for the 6 months ended the 30th of June. And so we'll look into that, the details of that, operational financial progress there. Before we do, Tim, as always, if someone is not familiar with the company, just briefly summarise what Shield is all about, please.
Okay. We are a relatively small pharmaceutical company. We have a commercial stage product for the treatment of iron deficiency. That is approved in Europe and in the US, approved for marketing, that is. Mm-hmm. And it's we have a partner in China who is taking it into the approval process there as well. So we are, as I say, we have a commercial product and therefore not all the risk of R&D that people often associate with an R&D company.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, 6 months results ended 30th of June. There, let's go into, first of all, the financial highlights, if you could, Tim.
Yeah, so the results for the first half of 2020 have been pretty good. We had revenues of 8.9 million, and that was largely on the back of the $11.4 million that we received from ASK Pharm, which is our Chinese partner. And we signed a deal with them in January, and there was an upfront payment associated with that deal of 11.4. So we had strong revenues in the first half. We also had a big cost of sales number, just over 1 million. And there's an interesting feature there. The original intellectual property that was behind our product, Ferracru, or Accrufer as it's known for the US, was owned by a small company called Vitra. Mm-hmm. And each time that we do a license deal, they have an option as to the return that they get on the product, which arises from the original deal we did with them when we acquired the intellectual property. They can either take a 5% royalty, so long as there are net sales of the product, or they can take 10% of any upfront and sales milestones that we receive under the license agreement. Now, for the European deal with Norgine that we did a couple of years ago, Vitra took the 5% of net sales. Mm-hmm. Whereas for the China deal, they decided that they would like the 10% of the upfront and any future milestones. So when we did when we received the $11.4 million, we owed Vitra $1 million as their 10% share of that. Now, the benefit for us of that is that we don't have to pay them a 5% royalty on all the future sales. So that's what they chose to take, and they obviously wanted some cash now. But for us, as I say, there's a long-term benefit.
Yeah, and I suppose the Chinese market is quite a big market as well, so,
Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. Yes, the Chinese market, we believe, is going to be very substantial, and bearing in mind that we've got a 15-year patent life for the product. So if I just continue briefly with the financial results, once you look through the selling, general and administration costs and the R&D costs, we ended up with a profit for the half year of 3.1 million. And that flowed into a cash flow of 2 million for the half year. And so we ended the half year, ended 30th of June, with 6.5 million pounds, having started the year at 4.1 million pounds. So overall, it's a strong financial performance in the first 6 months of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get into operational, because, of course, you're now pretty much global, I suppose, Europe, China, America as well. So take us through some of the operational highlights here.
Yeah, so if we start at the beginning of the year, in January, we signed the deal with ASK Pharm, which I've just mentioned. Mm-hmm. We received the $11.4 million. We paid Vitra their 10% share of that. And under the terms of the agreement, we will get another $11.4 million when they successfully get the product approved for sale in China. And in due course, when they sell the product, we will receive royalties of 10% or 15%, depending on the level of sales. So it's now in the hands of ASK Pharm to get the product approved. We've been very pleased with the progress that they've made since January in thinking about what studies that they might need to do and negotiating with the Chinese regulatory authorities as to what studies are needed to get the product approved in China. And the indications are, and this isn't absolutely confirmed yet, but the indications are that the Chinese authority is going to want only a phase three study in inflammatory bowel disease. We did think there was a possibility that they might want a pharmacokinetic study. They might also have wanted a phase three study in chronic kidney disease, bearing in mind that we ourselves in Europe and the States did studies in both inflammatory bowel disease and chronic kidney disease. But as I say, the indications are that the authority will only require a study in inflammatory bowel disease. And that could mean that the product gets approved a little bit sooner than it might otherwise have done. So overall, we're very pleased with progress to date in China. Mm-hmm. If we turn to Europe, despite the COVID situation, it's been a good 6 months for sales in Europe. The sales of our partner, Norgine, in Europe are up about 50% over the second half of last year, so a half year on half year, a 50% improvement, which, as I say, given the disruption that COVID has caused in the medical and hospital sectors, we think looks like a pretty good performance. The other aspect of this to bear in mind is that to date, Norgine are primarily selling only in the UK, and frankly, that is mainly only in England and in Germany. And the reason for that is that in the other major markets of Europe and also in other parts of the UK, you have to go through market access negotiations to get pricing and reimbursement arrangements agreed. And unfortunately, that's been held up really for two reasons. The first reason is COVID. National medical authorities have obviously had other things on their minds rather than negotiating pricing and reimbursement discussions. And the other complication has been the fact that, as investors will recall, in March, we had something of a hiatus with the head-to-head study results that we'd announced a year earlier. And we had to go back and do some reanalysis of that. And the importance of the head-to-head study was really to assess health economic data, and health economic data is used in the pricing and reimbursement negotiations. So while we were doing the reanalysis, the pricing and reimbursement negotiations would have had to have been suspended anyway, although, as I said, they were somewhat disrupted by COVID. But in just after the end of June, we were able to announce the reanalysis results from the head-to-head study, and we were very pleased that they essentially reconfirmed what we had originally thought, that the long-term benefits of the use of Feraccru are very compelling, and we believe offers a really credible alternative to the intravenous therapy, which is the primary alternative to oral iron deficiency treatment. So, as I say, good progress in Europe, and our partner Norgine now will start to use the new reanalyzed data and go back into pricing and reimbursement discussions with the major countries in Europe. Realistically, it's probably going to be towards the end of 2021 before any of those markets will finally complete those negotiations, and we'll be able to launch in those big countries in Europe. But nevertheless, we are back up and running in that area at the moment. So I think I've dealt with the head-to-head study results. If I now move on to the US, having talked about China, having talked about Europe, the US, we're making good progress. We've had discussions with multiple companies. Many of those have moved into confidentiality agreements with us. We've had a number of companies submit term sheets, and we continue to make very good progress. And we are optimistic that we will get a deal done in the next few months. And indeed, you know, we're confident enough that we have ordered from our supplier, we have ordered launch stocks for the US, which we think will be ready and released for sale by around the end of the current year, possibly just into 2021. So, you know, we see a launch in the US in early next year as entirely possible at the moment. So good progress being made. There's not too much more I can say about that for obvious confidentiality reasons, but we remain very confident.
Excellent stuff. Okay. And one final thing then, Tim, or three final things. Someone's listening right now, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story. Just give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add Shield Therapeutics to their watch list, please.
Okay, so we have, it's, what I haven't said is we have a 15-year patent life in Europe, China, and the States on this product, which takes us out to 2035. So the first one is we've got a long-term horizon on this product. Secondly, Europe is going to start growing quite rapidly once we can get the other major countries up and running and launched there. So from 2022 onwards, we would expect to see quite fast growth in Europe and also perhaps then or a year or so later in China as well. So we've got those markets. And then in the short term, once we are able in a position to announce what the how we're going to commercialize in the US, whatever partner we establish, you know, we believe that that will trigger a significant re-rating as the market understands that we've now got a route to market in the US.
Excellent stuff. Tim, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.